It's not a bird, it's not a plane, it's Superhero Slade. It's a modern podcast where we talk about everything that's great, like movies, TV, superheroes. It's Superhero Slade.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Superhero Slate, the show where we run down the latest superhero entertainment news.
We love TV, movies, and superheroes, so let's talk it all out.
My name is Chris.
And my name is Mike.
And this week, we've got the trailer for Marvel Overwatch clone game called Marvel Rivals.
I'm sure Chris will explain everything to me.
Yeah,
because I understood some of those words.
I'm excited. This is like the third week in a row. It feels like we've had a Marvel game reveal kind of going on here. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they're in their golden / silver era of gaming. The Thunderbolts filming is underway with a walkthrough video from one of the actresses, if you will. So it's okay. There's no spoilers on this, sadly. But we're going to talk about some stuff we saw. And I got a theory, Mike. I'm going to lay it on you later.
All right.
Spider-Verse gets a new fundraising short film clip. It's just a short. It's a 7-minute thing on YouTube and more.
Yes, Chris will be explaining many things to me on this episode, which I appreciate very much. I keep forgetting that it is a holiday here in the States. Yes. Known as Easter. So if this is a holiday you celebrate, I wish you a bountiful harvest of eggs, because it's the only thing I really associate with it.
Well, all the candy can make deals some colorful, tomorrow.
Yes, that's true. All the Reese eggs. Ooh, I'm actually surprised, because this is the season of the Reese's Mallow Cup, which is a Reese's cup that has a little bit of like marshmallow in it, and it's delicious. I haven't picked one up yet this season, which is shocking me now, but I can get probably 50% off tomorrow. So thanks for the reminder.
Oh, you're welcome. I bought a package of Reese's Pieces eggs. So imagine the pieces, but they're like larger egg shaped, kind of like a peanut M&M size. I'm like, that's pretty good. They're good for, you know, a small dose if you're looking for some of those.
If you need that thick Reese's Pieces hit.
There's hardly any chocolate on it, which I think is the best part. The inside of that fake peanut butter to candy shell ratio is pretty solid, actually.
Yes. If you're like Chris and avoid chocolate mostly, you'll be good to go with Reese's Pieces.
Yes. That my wife also got, I believe it was Jolly Ranchers or Starburst or something jelly beans. Skittles jelly beans maybe this year. She's a big fan of those, and she's also a huge fan of Peeps, which are not my go-to candy by any means, Mike. I don't know if you're a fan of Peeps or not.
Peeps are a rare occurrence in this household, but we do like marshmallow. My wife would definitely be one of those children in that experiment where of like, oh, if you wait, we'll give you like two marshmallows. Like, she's eating that marshmallow in front of her right away, and then just begging anyone around her for another one. Marshmallows to me have always been like, I view them more as like an ingredient for very delicious things, but on their own, not quite enough to get me excited. So the same translates to a peep.
I'm the other way. I'm for burning marshmallows on a stick. That's about the extent of my marshmallows, Mike. I don't want them in anything. I'm not a huge fan of marshmallows. So Rice Krispie treats are really not even on my like realm of like things I enjoy very frequently. But I do love burning a marshmallow on a stick. It's the inner pyro in me that comes out, and I just
think, it's just the act of carbonizing something.
Yeah,
just makes me think I was literally just watching The Terminator, James Cameron's original Terminator film, just before we recorded this, and lots of explosions. And I forgot that Arnold gets his like eyebrows burned off in the movie about halfway through, and he just looks like a Super Saiyan level 3 for the rest of the movie.
Oh, nice.
Because it just been so long since I've seen the first one, because my brother and I just grew up like watching Terminator 1 and 2 on repeat over and over and over again, but we always kind of preferred watching the sequel, you know, because there's more action, you know, there's more adventure, there's two Terminator, so there's two, it's just, there's more of everything, so we always watch that one more. Then also, like, you know, the protagonist, you know, is like a teenage boy, so we're like, oh yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So watching the first one after so long was like very refreshing. I'd forgotten it, like so many things that happened in the movie.
It's a straight horror film. Like it's like the second one is very bombastic in action, right? There's the canal scene and the semi trucks and all of the action. Of course, there are scary moments as well, but that first one is truly a horror film through and through.
Oh yeah,
more so than that second one, because that second one just goes bigger. It goes more. It goes all in like a sequel would. But that first one, people forget how tiny and claustrophobic it is. At sometimes, like, you just don't know what's going to pop out of the shadows at you in that movie.
And I just love all of like the Sam Winston special effects, like, aesthetic of the 80s, like the stop motion, the miniatures,
Sam Winston.
all of the little tricks of the camera of just like, well, we can't actually show this robot eye inside of Arnold just yet.
Yeah.
We don't have the technology just yet, so we're going to make like a fake of his head, but then we'll put it on like real human shoulders.
We'll swap it out on a cut and everything. Yeah,
it's pretty fascinating. It's just like, I do like the ambition of the 80s of just like, we're not going to let the limitations of technology stop us from telling this very heavy science fiction story, but we just need to be conservative with our shots, and, you know, not just like linger on something and ruin the magic.
I love everyone's view in the 80s of how a dystopian future was, like their tall building. Like, if you look at Blade Runner, you look at Terminator, you look at like Alien, even like two of those are James Cameron, but like everyone's view of like a dystopian future was all the same, right? It was rainy, it was dark, it was cities, and there was technology that we still don't even have to this day everywhere, kind of things. And I know the Terminator, like, I think one had a little bit of the future, right, when Kyle Reese was talking about the future and stuff like that. So I mean, I just love everyone just agreed, like a silent agreement, yeah, the future's gonna be shit and here's what it's gonna look like for everybody along the way. But that's a fun one to go back to.
I was gonna say, that's the goal of this week's podcast. We're gonna record a great show, and then we're gonna get out of here, and I'm gonna go watch the sequel right after we're done recording.
Yeah, Mike's probably tired of me talking about this already, but I bought that Laserdisc player, and literally two of the Laserdiscs I bought were Terminator 1 and 2 this week, because they just came out in that time frame, right, where everyone was trying to get home releases on all that fun stuff. I did not ask you, though. I did get a lot of the James Bond movies, and friend of the show Brian, I actually FaceTimed him because he's one of the biggest James Bond fans I know, like retro Bond. And I'm like, Brian, tell me which ones I should get of this collection before I bought the whole collection. And he gave me a list of old Bonds. Do you have any old Bond movies in the Connery, Roger Moore era that stick out to you that you were like, yeah, I watched these? I didn't watch a lot growing up. I didn't really get to Bond until Daniel Craig kind of came through myself.
No, this would be like this would be a great question for my older brother, who is 3 years older than me. He really gravitated towards the Bond films, to where he had every Bond movie on VHS when they had those really big box set releases. And of course, after like all of his allowances and like part-time jobs or whatever, like the second, you know, he buys that last box set volume release, right, is when like DVDs invented, and he has to like rebuy all of them again. But no, I was a Pierce Brosnan era. Okay. That was my Bond. And to me as a kid, going back and watching older ones just felt too vintage and antiquated. I'm sure I could get a lot more joy out of them going back and watching them now. But yeah, no, Pierce Brosnan is kind of where it starts for me.
Then you'll be glad to know I got GoldenEye then. I was the only one that's not a Roger Moore one. Perfect. Or a Sean Connery one. Because, boy, those old ones feel sexist. Boy, they feel so sexist when you look at them. womanizing through and through. But yeah, no, I'm still looking forward to take on that. And before we get into our topics for the week, because Mike was talking about, I'm going to talk about what I watched in theaters this weekend. Don't forget to like and subscribe our video if you're on YouTube or anywhere, really. We're trying to put ourselves out there in so many different places for this. So, but Saturday, Mike, I was able to take part in what I believe is the biggest domestic, or maybe it was global, opening of the year so far. Godzilla Kong, New Empire. Is it New Empire? Yeah, not Frozen Empire. That was Ghostbusters. New Empire. In theaters this weekend. I went at a 10 o'clock in the morning showing. Mike, have you ever been to a 10 a.m. showing on a movie? Or at least recently?
Oh, I have. I love it. Yeah. You just get to watch it, and then you have your whole day ahead of you afterwards.
There's no one in line at the concession stands. That popcorn's fresh. That popcorn, you see them popping it right there in front of you kind of thing. I got myself a Coke Zero and my Twizzlers. That's my go-to. And watch this with a couple people. What was surprising about this movie, Mike, is like I said, it is so far, it beat Dune so far for opening. So, the story I have, the story this tells me is people like watching, dumb action movies still. I think, you know, I saw Ghostbusters. I don't think it had as strong of an opening last weekend, but Godzilla Kong, definitely did, because it's a continuation of, again, the Godzilla franchise, the Kong franchise. And what I will tell you, Mike, is did you enjoy Godzilla versus Kong last time when it came out?
I think the word enjoyed is a stretch for any of this new franchise of Kong. I have been somewhat entertained. Okay. I would go on any of these movies.
So I believe when we talked about Godzilla v. Kong, it was during the pandemic, right? It came out on HBO Max. Same time as in theaters, so we were lucky. We didn't have to pay for anything because we already had a Max subscription. So that probably helped that. But we always said we need more monster fights, right? Like we watched it, you know. There's just a lot of humans, a lot of like just dull, dragged on moments. I will tell you, they took those lessons to heart, Mike, because there are monster fights after monster fights after monster fights in this movie. There are whole sections where no dialogue is spoken or humans are seen because it's about the huge beast Godzilla and King Kong and the other titans, if you will, above and below Earth in this movie. So I think that's great. There's actually, I don't know if you remember, it was in the Kong Skull Island. There's like a tribe of people on Skull Island who like worship Kong. They make a reappearance in this, and the thing about that tribe was they don't talk. They have no language, like verbal language. So they were so intent on not making people talk in this movie, they used another culture that has no verbal language whatsoever. they were like, we don't want people to ruin this movie because people just, you know, last time it was just bogged down with all that stuff and it was weird. Like it just kind of ruined the momentum. This time there are like four main characters other than the kaiju. Rebecca Green, Dan Stevens, you know Dan Stevens of Legion.
I remember
fame.
That guy.
Yeah. He's a great guy. Brian Tyree Henry shows back up. He's the what I would call this version, this show's podcast. He ran the blog on kaiju and stuff in the last one. And then a little girl, the girl who was on Skull Island last time in Kong. That's it. Other than that, there's hardly anybody, other humans in this movie, Mike. That's how much they were like, we're taking it down. We're bringing it back down to the monster fights. And I will say a couple of the scenes, you know, it starts off with an action scene in Hollow Earth, and then you get some stuff with Godzilla. Godzilla, he is just a fucking beast in this movie, man. Like he just goes for it. Like it's kind of brutal in some cool ways. So I had a good time. This is not going to change your mind if you're on the fence of Godzilla Kong movies. This isn't going to change your mind, but they doubled down on what worked, and rather than sticking like, hey, we want to bring more humans in and show the human side of this story, it's not about that. It's not about it at all. It's about the monsters, and we know, and they know that, and they really give it to us. So,
yeah, this is the perfect cross section of an HBO Max, or I guess just Max streamed movie for me. Right, there's like just enough curiosity. Yeah. I have also the correct amount of like sunk cost of I've already spent like so many hours in this universe already.
No,
I might as well get back into it. So yeah, I'll probably check it out a little bit. But I already know exactly how I'm gonna feel when the movie is over. Right, so like I'm gonna be a totally unchanged man.
But it's definitely worth the stream. It's definitely worth the free stream. Yeah.
I wonder if maybe the performance also is related to just not a ton of competition out there right now. I mean, you did mention Dune, which came out a few weeks ago, and I feel that feels like the type of movie where everyone who really wanted to see it kind of went and saw it right when it came out. They were waiting. It was the part two. But usually, like,
I thought Ghostbusters would actually give it a run for its money, if I'm going to be completely honest.
I mean, did it? I mean, I've heard people go back and forth on the quality of that movie, so I won't speak to that because I haven't even seen it, but I haven't heard anybody really talk about Ghostbusters at all, except for you. Like, I don't think pop culturally it really moved the needle in any way, but I mean, who am I to judge?
There was no Ecto Cooler. That's why. If you don't have Ecto Cooler, you're doomed to fail.
Exactly. But usually, what do we have historically kind of towards the end of March? It's typically like a pretty big Marvel movie. Mm-hmm. I think March was a month for...
It was going to be Captain America, I believe, last time.
Yeah.
Before it was
March. I'm trying to think in the past, like, was Civil War a March movie?
I don't think Civil War was, but Winter Soldier was. I believe, you know, Black Panther was February. They kind of mix in the spring a little bit there with some of them historically.
Yeah, so I wonder if maybe that has kind of helped. You know, there's always just going to be a desire for movies in the month of March. So when Marvel isn't there to suck up a lot of those free dollars, everyone else comes on in.
Yeah, I'm taking a look here. I really thought, you know, I agree with you, Dune. I think Kung Fu Panda 4 is out, even though that's not, you know, in our wheelhouse, if you will. Ghostbusters, Godzilla. I can't even think of anything I saw in the theater, Mike, when I was in there, like promotions or posters for anything else when we walked in. It's just one of those things, like it's doing the right things, and I don't... We were talking about this before the show. What is the next movie we need to watch in theaters other than, I would say, like I said, Deadpool to you? I'm like, what's next? I don't even know what's coming, right? For the next couple months.
Yeah, I mean, nothing specifically I would say for this show. I think there's like a new... Like, is that new Planet of the Apes movie out yet?
Oh, that's a May one. I saw that. They had a trailer for that. It's a May one. Guy Ritchie's The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare is in April.
Obviously, Chris, I can't believe... I mean, we won't be going to the theater for it, of course, but Rebel Moon.
Oh.
Part 2. We got to be there. Butts and seats on the couch.
That's true. I forgot about that. That'll be saving me a movie ticket. I'm trying to think trailers I watched. Bad Boys movies. There's another one of those coming.
Yeah, there's another one of those.
And that might be
I want to see. I'm curious about the movie Monkey Man with Dave Patel.
Yeah.
That one, I believe, was kind of supposed to be a straight to streamer release, but I guess whoever owns it was impressed by the quality, so it's getting a theatrical release. So I'm hoping that's good, and that's a Jordan Peele produced as well.
Yeah,
I'm extremely nervous about this A24 movie, Civil War, because it could be good, but I am very nervous of how it's going to make me feel, and like the subject matter seems very intense right now here in this country with an election year. So I'm gonna take a step back and wait and see how that one goes.
Yeah, there was two horror films. Was it the first Omen and The Watchers, which is the next Shyamalan movie, or not? It's not M. Night Shyamalan. I think it's a relation. Ishana Night Shyamalan is doing that. Despicable Me. Yeah, there it is. That's the one coming out in May that people are doing. So, I'm just not seeing a lot, you know, going on. But I had a good time with this. I'm glad I got to see it again. Matinee. It was fun to watch it in the theaters with that. But on the other part this week, Mike, you've asked me no fewer than four times, have you caught the new episode of X-Men 97? And I can say confidently, as of this recording, yes, I have. I've watched episode three of X-Men 97.
If you were
going
to say no, I was going to be furious.
Yeah. Well, I had some personal issues that were unexpected to take care of most of the week. Finally, we were able to watch it once everything kind of calmed down this weekend. So,
yeah. Because if you're unaware, listeners, for the next 5 weeks, this is an X-Men 97 themed podcast. Yes. In every way, we're going to be trying to jam in every SEO keyword, every image, whatever we can do to make this as X-Men 97 as possible, because it is popping off out there, folks.
Yes, and again, it's on Disney Plus. We're 2 weeks in, 3 episodes out. I have, before we begin, Mike, anecdotal evidence from a listener of the friend, listener of the show and friend Luke. He said, he texted me earlier. He says his wife loved X-Men 97, so we're 3 for 3 on wives enjoying X-Men 97.
Yeah, if anyone else out there has a surprisingly unfamiliar spouse with the X-Men universe and is getting into X-Men 97, we're taking tallies.
Yes.
So we got 3. That's impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. But I went ahead and put some time codes in here, Mike, so let's go ahead and get into episode 3 discussion, because I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to preface this, okay? Last week I asked you, Mike, do you want me to tell you what this episode's going to be about?
And you said no, no, do not tell me who this mysterious duplicate Jean Grey is.
And We started watching it, and I told my wife earlier, I'm like, let me tell you what's going to happen. She's like, okay, sure. She's like, did you read about it online? I'm like, no, I can tell you right away after the end of last week. I know exactly what's going to happen. I told her, I said, this character's name is Madeline Pryor, and they have a child.
Okay, should we just go ahead and just say that, like, when we talk about X-Men 97, there's just going to be spoilers.
Yeah, there's spoilers. I'll put the spoiler thing out. So this is... and this is taken straight from the comic books from the 1980s. Okay, so none of this is brand new information. All of this is identical from the comic books. Mind you, rushed, right? Because we're dealing with a 20-minute timeline. The last episode ends with a Jean Grey coming to the door of the mansion while there's already a Jean Grey in the mansion. Who's the clone? What's going on here? We come to find out it's all machinations of Mr. Sinister, which is in the title. I love Mr. Sinister. I think he's a cool design character. I really am sad we never got him in live action, but at the same time, I'm kind of glad we didn't.
How many times did they try to get Mr. Sinister off the ground? I swear there's 3 like post-credit scenes out there in the world with some sort of like Mr. Sinister name tag.
It's Nathaniel Essex Corporation, because his name was Nathaniel Essex,
Yeah, or there's like an Essex badge or something in the corner. Like every time they try to get him, and it would have been kind of cool to see how you translate his very like striking visuals into a live action universe, because he's like a weird, like, I don't even know what to call him, like 1980s vampire. Like he's very striking.
So he is from the 1800s. He's very, very old because he's been putting mutant genes in his genes. But I would say he's like a vaudevillian, like kind of goth, like vaudeville and goth kind of mixed together, right? Like he's very dramatic in his, like, he's got these things that come off his back that go up and down. Like they're not fringe, they're not frills. What are they, kind of thing? And he's got, you know, pale skin with the diamond on his head. So like when you see Mr. Sinister, you know who Mr. Sinister is, and he's into cloning. So, absolutely. I was able to call this episode, you know, before we get into full spoilers, to my wife before she's like, how did you know this? I'm like, this is from the 1980s. None of this is new. This is all identical for this, Mike. So, you've made a thumbnail here for me that is very confusing for Chris to look at. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what you're feeling, but you've asked me so many times, Mike, I got to know what your take is on this.
Oh my God. Well, this came into my head. If you're unfamiliar with the specific Simpsons reference in our featured image for the day, this is the iconic stupid, sexy Flanders may be familiar with. This popped into my head because when the first 2 episodes aired, there was a very small minority, I think, of just very fragile men out there that were complaining that like Gambit was in a crop top, like showing his navel or something, which was just like hilarious to me that even anyone found that to be problematic. But also in the same episode, you have like a totally shirtless like Logan just out playing basketball. I mean, this is like very like Top Gun beach volleyball like coded scene, and like nobody really seems to have a problem with that because they understand like in context what is happening here.
Gambit's, but like, too I do cool like to wear a crop top.
And then, like, in episode two, you get more of, like, Magneto in his kind of, like, typical, like, I guess, superhero suit now, which is, like, sleeveless, like, skin tight. And then this episode just turns a version of Jean Grey into, like, this, like, goth, like, nightclub, like latex goblin
this
queen
is where...
and it's like every week there's like a sexier and sexier character, which I just find so funny to me. And it's like, this is like the definition of just like, oh, we're not making this show for kids anymore, like we can take this a little extra. But yeah, I do find it funny the toys are still definitely for kids, because if you look at the goblin queen presented in this episode compared to the official X-Men 97 goblin queen action figure, she's got a little bit more coverage on that plastic, which I just find very humorous to me. So if anybody out there is was complaining about Gambit, you're going to have to equally complain about the female characters being scantily clad. I'm sorry. That's just how it goes.
As a young child, I had a fascination with redheaded women, Mike, and I can tell you it was probably from X-Men that did it to me along the way. But yeah, this episode sets up a very important character. Do you know who the child of Scott Summers and Madeline Pryor is?
So I do know that that like the Summers family is like there's like superpowers scattered throughout like the lineage. I think he has like a some sort of powered father, maybe brother.
He's two
like
brothers.
Son. I don't remember what all of them do and what all they all look like when they're superpowered, but I know it's like there's family lineage with different powers happening here.
So in this episode, it's a very rushed version of it, but Mr. Sinister is trying to create the perfect mutant, make him invincible because of, you know, the Summers DNA and Jean Grey's DNA. You know, puts him in this vat, gets a techno-organic virus. This child is sent to the future. Who comes from the future later in X-Men, Mike?
Cable. Oh, is it Cable?
Cable is his name is Nathan Summers. So we just got to see the creation of Cable that they used in the comic books.
That's interesting. I never knew that.
Yeah, so when you see Cable in the comic books. Now, don't use Deadpool 2 as an example. That's a whole different Cable. But in the comic books, yeah, he is the child of a Jean Grey clone, Madeline Pryor, and Scott Summers. And that's how he gets his techno-organic virus from Mr. Sinister trying to manipulate him as a child before he was sent off to the future to control his powers and, you know, become the person that we know as a time traveling badass really at the end of the day. What was interesting is we got to see the original Morph face in this as well. I don't know if you caught that with Morph used his original face, because in the original series you think he dies in the first episode, but he's actually captured by Mr. Sinister and experimented on. So that's a throwback to the original show. Bishop, who has been around for a little bit, you find out why he's been around. His time traveling bracelet's broken, so Bishop is also sent off at the end. I thought Bishop powering up by Cyclops was awesome. Whenever he's like, just load me up with energy, I'm gonna shoot all these demons down.
Oh yeah, that's like that's a great transition from the context of the show is really, really cool, right? The story and everything, but the visuals of this episode were like out of this world. Like literally the first part of the episode is kind of like that haunted house, cursed ghost demons, like just absolutely wild. And then you get to the second action scene where they're fighting the Goblin Queen in this like super spooky mansion, and the fluidity of like the animations and like the action and the shots are just amazing. Watching her go toe-to-toe with like Magneto and the glass flying everywhere, oh man,
the color, like not just her color but the color of the stained glass as well, whenever like it looks like a rainbow of shards coming down on Magneto, you know, her purple and green colors mixing together to show her powers, and then like when she's controlling other people. Morph actually transforms into magic at one point, and then he becomes under control of the Goblin Queen. He reverts into magic's demon form, which is Dark Child, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But like, yeah, I agree. Like everything about it, again, the show is firing on all cylinders here, just three episodes in still, to impress us really at the end of the day. And then it gets into that really, you know, I would say similar to Doctor Strange, body and mind, who's the person, who's the spirit kind of thing. into some heavy material, right? Like Jean Grey's powers manifesting, the loss of her friend, you know, the birth of their child. Who's the real Jean Grey? Who's the real mother? What's going on here? It was some real heavy stuff there at the end.
Yeah, I love it. It feels very kind of like Secret Wars, like body replacement of, they don't really ever tell you, the audience, of how long Jean Grey, the real Jean Grey, has been gone for, how long the replacement has been happened. And like, it seems like, oh yeah, we're just never gonna know, which is gonna have this big rift between Jean and Scott of just like, well, technically, were we ever married? You know, that's definitely not my son. You know, when did we fall in love?
When was it replaced? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, and this is like such a clever way too, to like kind of bring back in that that Wolverine Cyclops like love triangle as well. Yeah. It's just great. This show is just like, I can't. It's just, I'm so impressed how it just gets better every single week. And I was going to ask you a question, Chris.
Yes.
I mean, we now know that this show is just amazing, and it's everything we wanted it to be, right? And then also, it is kind of striking and fun to see the, on the credits crawl, you get to see executive produced by Kevin Feige on this, because obviously this Marvel animation is now under his purview. It even has like a similar opening title crawl to like, you know, Marvel, like What If?
Yeah.
And tangentially some of the other like MCU movies. So if you were Kevin Feige right now, and we know he's a little bit more reactionary than we have known in the past, and you're seeing like everyone loving this show, like what do you do going forward? I mean, the easiest, you know, answer is to make more seasons, but what is next? Like if you're seeing this appetite out there, what do you green light next?
I think, you know, with the reaction of this, you dive into that 90s animation, and you go with, I would say, the more popular show, and that's the Spider-Man, animated Spider-Man, right? From the 90s.
So glad you said that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I had the unlimited money that Marvel essentially has, and the ability to say, look, we've done this, you know, the formula is to don't fix it if it's not broken, right? Continue. Dive into that. I know they had, what was it? There was an amazing, or the Spider-Man, was it Amazing Spider-Man show? But they had like a continuation. What was that called? It had like a sequel though.
It was Spider-Man like 99 or 2099. The one where he goes to the future. Is that the one you're thinking of?
Yeah, like it does something different. Like, it feels different, right? Because I think there was like a quote unquote sequel, and it might have been just like a spiritual sequel even. But yeah, you go tap into that immediately, and you like, okay, let's get like the production started on this. Now they don't have to announce it. If it doesn't work on, you know, in the production cycle, don't do it. Don't follow it. But you should tap into the most popular. I would say even more popular than X-Men was Spider-Man. Like, I remember playing Spider-Man animated show video games in the 90s, right? On my Nintendo 64, stuff like that. I don't remember playing X-Men games like this, so I think you go into that and you go into it hard, if you will, for that. Now, there were other shows. We talked about this a little bit before, a couple weeks ago. Maybe it was a week or two ago, but I'm trying to think, what was it? There was a Fantastic Four. Do you remember anything else in that era?
There's an Iron Man. I'm sure that there's other, I think what you could do too is, you know, obviously tap into that, Spider-Man, cause people are aware it kind of ended, I think, on a somewhat of a cliffhanger with kind of like their own multiversal saga that they were doing in that version. But I think maybe for some of the other characters, just bring them into this world, right? I mean, you don't have to literally reboot that version of Fantastic Four or Iron Man, but just bring those characters into like this world and this style.
Yeah, crossovers, absolutely. It was Spider-Man Unlimited, by the way. I just looked it up. But like there was a Silver Surfer show, an Incredible Hulk show, Fantastic Four, an Iron Man show. I don't think you need to do that. I think I agree with you. They don't need individual shows, but maybe they work towards, like you said, an Avengers kind of team up show, or like what? How do we bring some of these people together into like a short run team up? You know, whenever this has kind of run its course, right after a couple seasons, I think that would be interesting to see them. But yeah, actually bring the Fantastic Four into this. You know, Iron Man, Silver Surfer is great because there's obviously, you know, X-Men stuff in space. the Hulk, Iron Man, Fantastic Four kind of go in Spider-Man in my head a little better. But yeah, I think you just tap into that. Like, as a smart person, which I believe Kevin Feige is, would do this, because that is what you need to do to be successful, to ride this wave, right? Like, to say, hey, look, we're listening to the people, we're bringing the people show to them at the end of the day. So, what is that? What you're green? That's what you do with this? You just,
yeah, love more? It.
Great. Okay, cool. Well, we'll keep coming back for the next, I guess, what, 7 weeks, 6 weeks for more X-Men 97. If we have anything update, I would probably say the last three episodes are part 1, 2, and 3 of a single story. We'd probably wait to the end of that, but we'll see if anything's cool along the way. Moving along, Mike, I know you are a Hulu Disney Plus package subscriber, correct? If I'm not wrong.
Correct.
Now, did your app get merged into one Disney Plus app this week with everyone else?
I mean, I feel like I've yet to see anything okay. That's specifically saying it's like one app. It seems more of like they're rebranding Disney Plus to feel a little bit more teal, almost like they've literally like smashed it together with the Hulu logo. And then just more Hulu stuff is available inside of my Disney Plus app. I mean, as long as there's things on Hulu that I can watch on there and can't watch on Disney Plus, they aren't the same app in my opinion. Like, I'm sure like every like Hollywood like news article and say like, oh, like Disney is like combining them in the one app, and it's just like, it's not true unless I can stop paying for one of them and only have the other one. But yeah, they are making the lines more blurred.
Well, from my understanding, they've merged it. You just click on Disney Plus and then it tells you Disney Plus and Hulu, and you pick which one you go into at the end of the day. So it was more of a, it's not a storefront, but what I guess like a landing page for apps, if you will, kind of thing. Ideally, they get to the point where you pay for one, but we don't pay for Hulu, so I just want the Disney Plus version. So hopefully they can keep them separate. But I don't know, again, as someone who doesn't use either of these, or both of them, just one of them, I want to know how the experience is for people, and I didn't know if you'd had that experience yet, diving into that app and having to pick, oh, I want to go to the Hulu land, I want to go to Disney Plus land at all.
No, so. My experience with Disney Plus is I open it on Wednesdays to watch X-Men, and then I close it, and then I open it next Wednesday to watch X-Men. So. Gotcha.
Yeah. My Xbox app has also updated to that new color scheme as well, so I do know they're pushing that all around. Marvel Rivals, a game that was surprise announced this earlier this week. We got a teaser, hey, we're announcing a game tomorrow. Then the game was announced the next morning with a trailer of not knowing anything what it was. Nobody knew really anything about this, but apparently they've been doing some early open alpha, or not open, closed alpha testing for some people. We've got some screenshots to share here. But it is a 6v6 game coming out next year, tentatively, and they will have alpha signups already open, so you can do the alpha in May. But this is essentially what people are calling, and I agree with, Overwatch or Valorant clone, using Marvel team-ups in destructive environments. Now, Overwatch is a 6v6 game where you pick, I think it's 5v5 now, where you pick a character who has a class, like there's a tank, an attacker, a healer, like you have, you know, like a specific role to play, if you will, on the team. And then you either kill the other team for kills, or you move... you stay with an item, it's not a train, but this item, and it moves forward. The closer you are to it, the more it moves forward. So the other team has to kill the other team to keep it from moving forward. You have to kill them so it keeps moving forward, kind of deal. Very strategic, very, you know, you pick a main character and usually plays them a lot of the times, so you get really good with them. Overwatch 2 launched a year or two ago for free, but it had a real botched release based on how they did the character releases and stuff like that, so it's not been doing very well. Mike, you said you might have accidentally played Overwatch at some point.
I feel like I have some memories of the game, but not enough to form an opinion.
Absolutely. I played a lot of Overwatch. Like, I even have like a Funko of one of the characters I played a lot of still over my gaming, so I'm a big Overwatch fan. So again, if the rule is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So essentially just do Overwatch, which has got killer gameplay, put my favorite IP over top of it, sign me up. I'm down to play this. Currently, the alpha will be for PC/Steam, but it'll probably come to consoles, and it is free to play. That was the other big part, Mike. I think that's going to be a good, easy entry, right? Sell skins, you know, or whatever, you know, do the shop like a Fortnite does. You don't have to buy it, but if you want to look cool, buy the skins kind of thing. I think that'll be interesting. But the cool thing for me is the launch roster. Characters, I didn't expect, designs I didn't expect for characters. These are all very unique. These are not movie or comic book based, but a lot of interesting mix of people here, Mike. I know you even said, like, who is one of these characters as we were kind of going through it?
Yeah, no idea who. Every character on here is familiar except for Luna Snow. Never heard of her before.
Yes. So Luna Snow was a character who came out in, I think it was a game a couple years ago. She's a North Korean, or not North Korean, sorry, South Korean based character, and she has the ability to control you know, cold and snow stuff. So so she has that those abilities. Let me see here. I'm trying to figure out.
You got me. You had my curiosity piqued. I would have loved it if she was from North Korea.
North Korean, yeah.
The story around a Marvel hero from there would be hilarious me. Just slowly fighting with other superheroes for the first time. Like, oh, this is a very interesting country that you live in.
Yes. So she also is essentially a K-pop singer as her human personality, and they actually created songs for her, like appearances in the games Marvel Future Fight, Marvel Super War. Yeah, she's cool. She's just got ice powers, and she was created around 2019. Other than that, Namor has a really interesting design where he's kind of like got an attitude, like a surfer attitude to him. If you look at the images here, or the one image I've linked in the notes, you know, we've got some interesting character. We talked about magic earlier. We have magic in here, Magneto, Storm, you know, some guardians. These all look pretty cool. I think a Penny Parker / Spider from the Across the Spider-Verse is an interesting ad, but she controls a mech, so that's kind of fitting. Any in here that are like drawn out to you in terms of designs?
Yeah, I feel like they're between a little bit of like a rock and a hard place with this roster, because obviously you want the most well-known characters that you can put in here, because you want people to download and play this game. Oh, I want to be Iron Man. I want to be some of these like of my favorite characters that I've fallen in love with on the big screen. But to me, like in like a combat scenario, and if I'm in a video game environment, I like when they're doing more of like deep reachers, like into like magic or like Penny Parker, you know, because I want to explore some other characters that, you know, take so much more effort and care to kind of put into a live action universe. So hopefully they'll add more of those in the future. But I'm not a big like games as like a service type of player, right? Where you stick with it like long term, you commit to skins and like you kind of make it part of your weekly routine of like joining with friends. You know, that's what like all the Fortnites of the world do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we're cursed with the knowledge that most like IP based games just don't stick around very long, right? It's the original IP like dreamed up by a video game studio that wants to own like the whole like stack of creative that lasts the longest, because they want to put the time and effort into building something that they can own in perpetuity forever. So I look at this Marvel Rivals game and I go, oh, this looks fun. I feel like you could jump in and have a good time, but I don't see why most people would ever invest a lot of their time and money into something that I could very easily see the headline in like 18 months, like, oh, the game is like shutting down, or nobody's playing it, or, you know, because we've been burned before with online service Marvel games. And also like the art looks cool. But the first thing that I thought when I saw it, and it kind of made me like a little depressed about the state of AI art, is just, I'm not saying or claiming that this is AI art, but this is almost exactly, I feel like, what a bot would push out if you say like, oh, draw me an Iron Man in the style of like Valorant, right? And then you would get something that kind of looks like this. And I don't blame them, because all of these characters look so cool, but my brain is so poisoned by the AI art machine that I'm always looking for like, oh, did they draw this finger weird or something? At least as of right now, when you have to translate the characters into a video game, you know, you can't have like a piece of AI AI art, you know, make that model. That model has to be so like precise and optimized that you can't just have like some sort of random artifact there. But it's a weird place to be. I'm not the audience for this game, but it's definitely a game I'll be watching and seeing how it develops over the next couple months.
I would say the my disappointment on this is when you announce a game and you're like, it's coming out next a year away, like I'm instantly out because I like the hype level. If I can play this sooner than later, then yes. Like, don't wait and say, hey, you can look at this now in a year. The game industry in a year is going to be entirely different, right? Like, what we play now, what we play in a year, what we play in 2 years is going to be interesting. I sent you earlier this week in Call of Duty Warzone, they've added Cheech and Chong skins next month. When we were playing Warzone in 2021, 22, I never would have thought, oh yeah, they're gonna do a Cheech and Chong crossover. Yeah, right. So the game thing just changes so quickly, so I think the delay is the worst part. I will say one of the interesting things is this, it's a multiversal war of essentially two Doctor Dooms from different universes are fighting, opening up different universes. So if you don't like these characters or these designs, there will be opportunities, I'm sure, to buy more recognizable ones or ones from the comic books or even more, you know, unique ones, if you will.
Oh yeah. They will give you as many opportunities as they can dream up to sell you something.
But because it is in these two universes that are not technically in the comics or movies, they do have the luxury of, again, designing them how you want or how they want to a little bit. They look, you know, again, like they would fit in. To me, I would say more than Valorant, it's more like Apex Legends designs a little bit, if you would, in some of these characters. Just kind of how, I don't know if it's the angles, the colors, the poses. I don't know. I haven't really figured it out yet. But I'm interested in this. A lot of people also called out, again, as you mentioned, they will probably be adding characters over time. Where's Captain America? Where's Thor? Where's the popular ones? But, you know, the fact that we are getting a game with magic and like, Rocket as a standalone character despite his short stature, I'm very excited for those opportunities to play it. And even if it's free and you don't spend any money on skins and it shuts down in 18 months, it's still free. That's the cool part about this. The other thing that this game has that the other games don't have is team ups, and you can kind of see that in the trailer. A well-known example is Rocket Raccoon is able to jump on Groot's back and shoot from him, so you get like a two at the same time. There's I think an image on their site where Bruce Banner as a Hulk is able to give gamma radiation to Iron Man to charge up his Unibeam reactor as a team up. So I'm excited to kind of see how some of these team ups kind of play together throughout that. So check out that trailer in our show notes and check out the roster there as well. Another video that came out this week, it's not a spoilery video, but you know, it's obviously a very curated promotional release video, if you will, for Thunderbolts. Came out on Florence Pugh's own video stuff, and then it was shared to Marvel, so you know it's real. It's not like, oh, we accidentally filmed it. So she's on set filming Thunderbolts, so that confirms that Thunderbolt is in production, which is cool. It also shows the title has an asterisk now, which was an interesting touch on that, which kind of maybe gives me the possible, like, they're indicating that this is just a standing title until they can change it later, maybe. Because the Thunderbolts are essentially run by Thunderbolt Ross, General Ross, who is now played by Harrison Ford in the MCU, but Harrison Ford isn't in this movie, so why are they calling it the Thunderbolts? Hopefully the title makes sense later. I don't know.
There's a good point. And also, since they have to be extraordinarily more strategic now over at Marvel before they kind of re-release themselves back out into the world and try to prove to audiences that they should be coming back in droves to Marvel, maybe they are kind of questioning, is Thunderbolts, you know, is that what we want to use? Is there any way we can incorporate the word Avengers into this title in any way? You know, maybe there's some
secret
sort of,
Avengers. I mean, it's like a secret Avengers kind of thing.
Yeah. Or like, I mean, I don't know if Dark Avengers quite fits the roster, but I wouldn't be totally shocked if maybe that's a pivot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I can't think of a title where an asterisk doesn't mean something, but like knowing that this is an asterisk, it just a thin font Thunderbolts asterisk on these like director's chairs or an actor's chairs tells me like, oh, this is just temporary. That's what it feels like. Like this is just a placeholder until, you know, something comes out of this down the road. Now, one of the things, they didn't really show anything on this, you know, it was very carefully calculated and filmed. But it looks like it's in like an underground, like maybe like, you know, SHIELD or not Hydra, but like, you know, one of those facilities that the government facility who's like running the superhero stuff is. And, you know, rumor was always that the Sentry was going to be found in like a bunker somewhere. So maybe this is the scene where they're finding the Sentry for the first time in the movie. So I don't know. There's literally nothing I can pull out of this. I even watched videos of like, they're trying to break it down. And they're like, yeah, this is very carefully calculated to not really reveal anything at all. But, Florence Pugh, a great actress, you know, riding high off Dune Part 2 and, you know, other things she's been in. So, smart marketing move overall. Blade, little quick update on this. The Production Weekly, I think it's like a magazine or like a online report now. They don't really do magazines. Says that they're shooting for a fall time frame for production this year for 25 to meet that 2025 release date. So it sounds like things are moving well behind the scenes now for this.
Yeah, to see things, it seems like the script has finally coalesced in some way, which is nice to hear.
Yeah, I you know, this movie still feels surreal since it's been announced 5 years ago at Comic-Con. So maybe we'll actually get them to shoot it and release it in time for late next year. On the flip side of that, one of the, for Fantastic Four, the scoopers are out there saying that the movie takes place in an alternate universe and it ends with it coalescing into Secret Wars with the universes tying together. I think I pitched this as like an idea a couple months ago, maybe. So I can't say, maybe they're listening to our show and stealing our ideas, or, you know, it could be completely wrong and people are just saying that because there's like hardly any news out of Fantastic Four, right? Everyone wants to know what it is. We all want to see it in action other than the artwork, but I've not really heard anything concrete out of this movie yet, Mike. Would an alternate universe Fantastic Four where it just ends and then they're all in Secret Wars and they come out into one universe at the end bother you think? Or are you just like,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, it seems like if you do alternate universe, if you do a different decade, it seems like they're all going to end up on some sort of battle planet at some point in time. So I guess it doesn't really kind of change the idea of what I think in my head of the movie.
Yeah.
We've seen that, you know, concept art that came out on Valentine's Day, or at least the illustrations, that they seem very vintage and back in the 60s, I believe.
Yeah.
So if it's in an alternate universe, it could just be a slightly different one, just so they don't have to worry about like, oh, well, why don't they know like Howard Stark, or, you know, why aren't they playing with other like things that happened back in the 60s? Do they not know about, is Captain America currently frozen in ice right now? You know,
Yeah,
maybe that kind of hand waves some of that stuff away.
Yeah, I think it would help alleviate, you know, again, we get to the point in the MCU where continuity is king, but how do you retroactively go back 50, 60 years now, right, without throwing a wrench into everything? But I think it's possible with the right story and the right verse, but, like, you know, at the same time, as long as it's a good movie, I don't care where they set it at the end of the day. We just want a good one. I'm going to put this under Daredevil Born Again because I don't know where to put it, but Finn Jones on his Instagram stories has shared a picture of him with a book of the travel bag with a never-ending story, some clothes, and a copy of the final issue of Power Man and Iron Fist, Mike. Is he teasing a return to Iron Fist?
I mean, it seems like it. If we had to take it at face value, this is a professional actor with, you know, a team of people, or at least if not a team, you know, a publicist that's, you know, telling them what to do and what to post, you know. Yeah, I guess we could take it. There's a version of me that just thinks nobody's called him and he feels left out. So, oh, maybe if I post a picture of this, if this Iron Fist comic book, maybe they'll call me.
Well, we have talked about, you know, with the Netflix shows now in canon with the MCU and Daredevil filming, he could technically make an appearance briefly as Iron Fist with Luke Cage, right? Like just a blink and you miss it kind of thing, or a very small scene to reference all that stuff. Because in Shang-Chi 2, we talked about a couple of weeks ago, The Wreckage of Time, about using a different Iron Fist completely, either from the future or the past. So literally it would be maybe his last time to be that character before they completely erase him forever.
Maybe this is a hostile takeover of Rand Enterprises. The first episode starts off with Danny Red dead in a gutter, and they have to solve the case.
Last issue of being Iron Fist. I think, you know, the less you have of that, that part, the better. Everybody else is there, but like if they're bringing everyone together to kind of acknowledge it, if it's there just for. They had a dinner, they had a flashback scene, you know, where's everybody at now? Well, you know, Danny's out chasing the mythical land of Kunlun or whatever, and we see him hiking up a mountain and that's all we see of him. I think that's fine too. I just don't want multiple scenes or returns of his character, if you will. Spider-Man 4, Mike, boy, this movie I feel is elusive, right? This is going to be the hard one to crack. There were some updates this week that says the script is still in progress without any director or start date. I feel that's a good sign, right? We've not been given a release date, but if you haven't committed to anything, no one can get fired and you can't mess it up if you don't commit to anything from the start. So that's great, especially with Sony's huge win this year with Madam Web, which had a Honest Trailers come out this week. Did you watch that, Honest Trailers?
It was glorious. I love it.
I didn't realize it the first time I watched it, but they brought up how hard it is for Dakota Johnson to open a Pepsi can in that movie.
Because they only gave her one.
And there are so many scenes of her fumbling with that Pepsi can, which was wild. So check that out if you get a chance. But, you know, as long as they're taking their time with Spider-Man 4, that's perfectly fine with me. My guess is that this will release between the Avengers films or be the first movie after Secret Wars. I think Tom Holland has signed on for Secret Wars, you know, if not the Kang Dynasty, but definitely Secret Wars. But, you know, we don't need to rush this movie out. I don't think it's going to add anything to the multiversal scale. Do you?
I mean, like, I feel like these Spider-Man movies always come out at a point in the MCU where there is a lot going on, right? Like they're always writing some sort of hype within like the overall like universe or storyline. Like the first Spider-Man Homecoming came out after Civil War. So they had this like huge like rift between the Avengers, and then bam, we get a Spider-Man movie. And then Far From Home was after Endgame. Yep. I mean, what a big, like, everyone like not only wanted to go see a Spider-Man movie, but oh, let's see what the ramifications of all of that are. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, No Way Home, you know, that was on the tail of?
Well, it came out after Eternals, but it essentially had a huge finale for Spider-Man, and then Doctor Strange followed it up. So
yeah, that's right. I mean, there was a lot of just multiversal stuff boiled in that. So I feel like they never release a new Spider-Man movie just, you know, in like an empty kind of era of Marvel. Yeah. Like if a Spider-Man movie was to come out now, it would feel very like, oh, well, what's it playing off of? It's just, it's not really riding a wave of anything right now. So yeah, I think you're right. It seems like if we're going to get another Spider-Man, it's going to be around like an Avengers movie.
Yeah, that's fine with me. I think the thing is, you know, the Spider-Man 3 literally, I think, was the biggest component. That and Doctor Strange are the biggest tent poles for the multiverse saga, right? I don't think that's disagreeable. That, the Loki show. So, like, by having Spider-Man be a huge part of this, you can let him rest for the rest of the phases until you have your big events. And then he can do a small story. Because we ended Spider-Man No Way Home with a very, very a small story, like kickoff Spider-Man himself by himself again. Let's live with that a little bit. He doesn't need to go huge. So I think that'll be fun. Speaking of Spider-Man, the Spider-Verse movies, did you know this weekend was going to be the original weekend that the third Spider-Verse movie was supposed to come out?
That feels about right.
It does feel about right. So that's sad that we didn't get that. But Sony released this week a short called The Spider Within. It's a short film or movie or whatever you would call it on YouTube that was created in collaboration with the Kevin Love Fund for Mental Health Awareness. So This is a little video about Miles' life dealing with the heavyweights of being a superhero, being Spider-Man, being a son, being in school, everything that's on his mind as a young teenager, and, you know, coming home and how does he deal with that and what does that really manifest itself as. It brings back the original voice actors for Miles and his dad, and it's really, you know, well done short video. And then on the YouTube page it has a fundraiser, so if you want to donate to the Kevin Love Fund for Mental Health Awareness, you can do so right from the page. So while it doesn't affect Miles' story in any way, it is great to use such a popular character as a platform to speak to the youth about, you know, the not dangers of mental health, but like, what can you do to be help yourself, right? Don't be afraid to talk about it
at the end. Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
So if you want to check that out, that's great. I'm going to probably actually give it to my wife to take to her school. She teaches fifth graders, and, you know, like, hey, you know, if you ever want to use Spider-Man as a way to say, hey, it's okay to feel overwhelmed. It's okay to want to talk about problems in your life. You should show this off because it was really cool, but it looks just like Spider-Verse. So, you know, if you're looking for, get your Spider-Verse fix, this is the way to do it at the end of the day. Mike, CCXP is one of my favorite events because we always forget about it, right? We always call it Brazil Comic Con. The first ever CCXP Mexico is happening in May. So we're going to have a May Comic Con, Mike. And it's going to be the first one. So they have some new badges here for this. You can see the boys. There's a couple of the boys ones, but CCXP Mexico coming out. That means, since it's the first one and it's so big, it's country. It's named after a country, right? I think we're going to see a lot of stuff come out in May that we didn't normally get before for this.
Yeah, we always underestimate the fanfare for just comic book and nerdy stuff in South America. I think Mexico is technically North America.
It's North America, still. But the Latin countries, Latin-speaking countries.
Yeah, I think I'm thinking of Brazil that has the other, was it CinemaCon they've had in the past?
CinemaCon and also CCXP in Brazil. Yeah. So, yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's great. Yeah, we always underestimate it, which means we never expect for huge announcements to come out of it. So, set your dials, your clocks to May.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to be coming back with that. We'll probably have full coverage. I'm very, very excited to see what comes out. You know, the boys, I remember when we went to, again, San Diego Comic-Con, and the boys was there as their first big appearance before the show debuted, and how big that's become and how much that has grown since its launch. So if the boys feel like this is a place to be, Amazon feels it's a great place for them, we'll be there covering that. Not really be there, but we'll be here covering there. Yeah, you get it. Lastly, Invincible Season 2. It's in the back half of Season 2, Mike. Are you going to wait and binge it? I assume you've not been keeping up weekly.
No, I've watched a couple episodes of, I guess, the first half of the second season whenever I kind of get a free moment and I remember, oh yeah, I have Amazon Prime. Oh yeah, that's right, Invincible is on there. I have to kind of be reminded of its existence, which sometimes I might get a little targeted ad and it'll remind me to go watch it. But yeah, it's been fun. The very first episode like kind of starts off with like a fake out of like an alternate universe, and it's like, oh, this is fun, this is great. And I always forget how amazing the voice cast is in general.
Yeah. Well, be prepared to forget some more voice cast, Mike, because Ezra Miller has been recast in Season 2. after all his troubles and controversies, and those have been several years now, right, for them. So they have not been in trouble recently, but I'm sure they recorded this years ago for Invincible, right? They do the voice recording well before they put it to animation. So they voiced the villainous D.A. Sinclair in the show, and they have been replaced in Season 2. I don't know who replaced them. I've not followed enough, but I thought it was interesting because, as you mentioned, the voice cast in Invincible is just top notch. They bring out the best for even the littlest roles, right? Even the small inconsequential pieces of this. And I'm familiar. Invincible's been following the comic book version pretty well. Some people have sent me some scenes from the latest episodes to watch. Because obviously it is a very gruesome show at points, right? Very gross, very kind of boyish even at some points. So in terms of violence, blood, gore, and it'll probably keep doing that for the rest of the season. Season 2 is not over yet, so there's still some episodes to drop, Mike. So we can I still haven't watched it because I've read the books. So I probably just need to sit down and binge it sometime when I can. That's the show for this week, Mike. Anything else you want to add? X-Men related, preferably? Because we're an X-Men show now?
Just come back next week. We're going to talk. We'll talk more X-Men.
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll talk more X-Men. I think what I'm going to do in terms of X-Men, I have been dying to revisit X-Men Legends, the video games. Are you familiar with those? Remember those?
Mm-hmm.
So I've got X-Men Legends 1 and 2, and those were really fun. Those set the scene for Marvel Ultimate Alliance. It's the same gameplay. So I think I'm going to dive into those on my the Xbox I got for my birthday and play some of those old X-Men games like that. But
love it.
If people know what you're up to, what you're doing, where can they find you at?
Oh, they can find my webcomics at liferewardsrisk.com and pickledcomics.com. Chris, if people want to catch you, where can they find you?
Find me on Instagram, Valdan87, V-A-L-D-A-N, or Video Game Systems of the same name, or come back every week where we're here. If people know about the show, where they can like us, subscribe us, leave us a review, whatever they want to do, buy merch, where can they get all that good stuff at?
Oh, all you got to do is head on over to superheroslate.com. That is our spooky haunted house where we baptize our children in mysterious green goo, superheroslate.com. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, wherever else you love to listen to fine podcasts like our own. You can get merch at superheroslate.com/store. We love hearing from you. Do you think the X-Men are too sexy or not sexy enough? Reach out and let us know. And if you want to be a super fan of the show, all you got to do is share the show with a friend, share the show with a buddy, and we'll be here every week, folks.
That's right. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.